This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers, to Mickey Miles and More, your podcast where we discuss all things Disney. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos. With me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Doc.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Yeah,
I had no choice.
I was gonna say it's your Zoom call, and you're welcoming. You're welcoming yourself back.
Hey, I want to say something about you before I go on, which is I was thrilled today when you sent me the link for your Xavier Riddle and the Secret Museum episode that features a character who is autistic. And I'm going to say one of the reasons that I'm really excited is because I train elementary teachers who are also special educators. And I think, wow, what a great, great tool, a teaching tool for them to use. So I told you I'm going to be requiring that they watch that episode as part of their homework.
And I will say, as we record this, it'll probably be on, I think it's on next week. So if you're listening this week, it'll probably be on Monday or Tuesday, something like that. But it's Temple Grandin, who's also a scientist, which you love.
Yeah,
she's autistic. And so we really wanted to make sure when we were doing this episode, at the time, we didn't realize that PBS was going to turn this into a month-long showcase. But on the show, we try to do things the best we can. And so, if our historical figure is a person of color, we make sure that we find a person of color to play that part. And in this case, we actually sought out they're actors. They became actors, but they weren't really actors, but who are on the spectrum or autistic. And we hired a young lady who's autistic. To be honest with you, it took a long time to get the performance out of her, but
it sounded great. I heard a little clip and I'm surprised because it sounded really, really good.
Yeah, no, we did a number of takes and we pieced things together. I'm so proud of this crew because we really do put in that extra effort to include everybody. And I think it pays off in the product. And I hope everybody does take a chance to watch the episode because it taught me a lot about autism too and how to deal with people. And it's not just about understanding autism. It's also accepting people with autism, which we tend to not do. We tend to shy away. So
it's Autism Awareness Month. Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. It's great. So, congratulations.
Awesome. Thanks. So, and also with us today is the ever handsome, ever debonair, Mr. Michael Scopa.
And the ever fully vaccinated Mike Scopa too.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Round of applause.
Yay!
First one of our crew. How's it feel? Was there like a sigh of relief? I've heard some people cried. Was there a moment where you were just like, I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, it took a little bit longer than the first time. It seemed to be more people getting vaccinated that day, but, everything went well. I will say that, to those who are ready and getting ready for their second vaccine, be prepared for anything. I wasn't sick. I didn't feel nauseous. I didn't have any, flu symptoms with the exception.
He grew a purple horn on his head.
I was very, very.
Is Bill Gates tired. Communicating through your arm now?
I actually got the. Yeah, actually getting.
He was very tired. Very tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very tired. But
hey.
Other than that, it lasted, I'd say it's about a 36-hour thing, at least with me and with a lot of people who I've talked with. Everybody's different, so what happened to me may not happen to Mary Jane or Billy Bob or whatever.
Again, remind me which one you had.
I received the Pfizer.
A Pfizer vaccine. Okay. Yeah. I this is maybe apocryphal, but I have heard that the Moderna effects are a little bit more severe than the Pfizer ones. But
that's me.
Yeah,
Moderna.
I'm Moderna as well. My son Justin got his first shot at the end of December and his second in January because he's EMT. And his second one, he felt a little bit achy, a little bit I think he might have had a slight fever, but he just was tired for the first, I don't know, 12 to 18 hours, and then he was fine after that. So I think it's well worth it, and I'm so glad to hear that you're fully vaccinated, Michael. So you're on your way. I can segue that right into a conversation, Mike. So I saw recently in the last day or so that Disney announced that it's going to cover the cast members' time to get vaccinated. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what I've seen is an indication that Disney really is encouraging their cast members to, you know, accept the vaccine and to get fully vaccinated, because obviously it's for the better. And in order to encourage them to do so, they are saying to cast members, I've heard that, and this has been reported, that they will pay the cast members up to 4 hours on their rate to get the vaccine. And that involves, you know, going there, waiting in line and all that stuff. So I think that's a really positive sign from the Disney company that they're encouraging their cast members, because I would guess that a lot of people are saying, I don't want to take time off from work.
Sure.
And, you know, you need
can't afford the hours. Gotta make
right. So it was up to 4 hours. It sounds like they're going to pay them. So I think that's nice to hear.
Yeah. But there's no mandate that they have to be vaccinated to work at Disney. They're just encouraging their cast members, right?
Right. I have not, you know, that could come. Who knows? But I have not heard anything along the line that the company is saying to its workers, employees, you know, you must be vaccinated.
But look, it makes sense for them too. It's a smart economic decision, because if somebody comes in and is COVID positive, that will really, you know, it could shut down a whole department, or they could be spreading it to guests. So I think it's a smart economic decision.
Yeah, I would think. It's a wonder. It's like they're already basically giving them 4 hours pay. I wonder if they're going to give anybody like a bonus for making sure they're vaccinated, just to, you know, because there are a lot of people who just for some unknown reason feel like it's not a good thing to have a vaccine. I don't understand it, but, you know, that's me. But I think they would want all of their employees, their cast members to have it for their sake, you know, like. You know, I still wonder. I mean, I guess they had the sign off thing, right? As soon as you buy a ticket, you're saying that you waive any kind of legal action against Disney if you were to get sick. Much like if you go skiing, you can't sue the owner of the mountain for getting injured. So, but I guess it also relate to the Florida policy? I mean, they pretty much tried to open everything up. So,
And Michelle, I'm confused, because, you know, the governor of Florida has wants to prevent. He's trying to do something with his power of the governorship, you might say, to prevent theme parks from using one of those vaccine passport policies. In other words, he doesn't want a theme park to say you cannot come in unless you're vaccinated. And here's my argument. It's a private company, so they should be able to do whatever they want. I don't care what the governor says. I want to protect my employees and my guests, just like the airlines, just like the cruise lines. There's 24 cruise lines that are thinking about cruising this year. I don't see how he has the power to do that. So that's something that I'm really watching very closely.
Yeah. It's interesting, because usually on the right, they tend to want to let the free market run as it
exactly
plays, and for him to turn around and say now, oh no, I want the other way, it would be kind of against their own creed. But so we don't really know right now about any of those in terms of cards or anything like that, but as we talked about earlier, all three of us are planning trips this summer down to the parks. I will fully admit, my wife and I are still having issues with the thought of our experience down there. So we thought maybe we would kind of go through some of the thoughts that are going on and things that are happening right now that will help me and my wife change our minds to one way or the other, make sure that we decide what we want to do. So I figure we're going to be doing this every single time, Mike, a percentage of attractions and experiences that are open or closed, as well as eating establishments. So do you have any updates to that? Has anything been changed or?
Pretty much everything is the same, Chris. I haven't seen any changes at all. I haven't seen any new closures to speak of or openings. I do think that something's going to give sooner or later, because there are some sit-down restaurants that continue to be closed, and I don't know what the plan is for them to open. But the other thing is that, and we're going to get to this, that there's going to be a change in the park operating hours in a couple of weeks. And I don't know if that's going to impact any plans for closures. There could be some restaurants that just are not conducive to social distancing, or they don't want to spend the money to do whatever they need to do to keep their guests safe. It's just so many things up in the air. But bottom line is that nothing has changed since our last show, really.
Okay. Well, we did hear something else, Michelle. There's something called the Food and Wine Festival coming up that they've announced. What is the Food and Wine Festival for people who don't know?
You think anybody listening to this doesn't know?
Hey, look, you know it, you never know.
It's an ever-expanding, in terms of weeks that it's available, it's an ever-expanding festival where around World Showcase in Epcot, you can sample foods from, I think it's 30 different countries, and it's kind of like tapas, you know, going around. You have food and wine and beer pairings for different desserts and entrees, and it's just a fabulous experience. And Mike, now it's extended. It used to be, you know, maybe we'd see a preview sometime at the end of August, but now it's extended for a lot longer time. Go ahead. When does it open?
So do a little history. The very first Food and Wine Festival I experienced was when I ran my first race down there, which was in 2005. And back then, the Food and Wine Festival started on September 30th, and it ended on November 13th. It was only 44 days. So now it's going to open, and they did this last year, sort of. They started doing something called the Taste of Food and Wine, but this year it's kind of official. July 15th through November 20th, which is a total of 128 days. So in the last 16 years, they have increased the Food and Wine Festival from 44 days to 128 days. So that is really interesting. And when I saw that and then I thought about last year, I'm thinking about how does the pandemic relate to this? And one of
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think it's a bad thing? I think it's a good thing.
Well, I think it's a good thing considering that you're going to be eating outside rather than indoors, so you're going to be safer. I do think that it may have something to do with possible plans for Disney to reduce the capacity in the restaurants in World Showcase to maybe 50%. So they're trying to recoup that revenue. But to your point, Michelle, I think it is a good thing because it will have people eating outside. The flip side, though, we know how crowded it gets with those Food and Wine Festival weekends. So that remains to be seen. But overall, we'll see what happens. But I was really surprised when they announced it.
Michelle, I'm going to hit you up with a theory. Or what is it before it becomes a theory, a hypothesis? The reason they're expanding the dates is because they want to open it up to a larger capacity, but they're not going to do that with the restaurants. So they need to apply more options to eat to the people. Would you call that a good hypothesis?
A hypothesis is something that you test, so it's an if-then statement, you're on the right track. Yeah, they are testing it. So if we open, then they will come, I guess. But I think you're absolutely right, Chris. I think that people are going to be maybe still a little afraid of going into these restaurants, and some of them might not be open. So why not spread out the experience so that people can, you know, drop a little cash all around World Showcase in the 30 different places that they can do that. And maybe if you're local, maybe it's another opportunity to come back again and again. So I actually think it's a good thing that I would actually like to see it all the time. I don't know. Is that terrible to say? I mean, no. I love the, you know, maybe if it was rotating and it was a chance for them to try out new things, I'd love to see it year round.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, we talked about this off air at one point where I had said, my wife and I on one trip decided to do just a cheese plate and wine vacation. So we didn't book any restaurants or dinner plans or lunch plans. And we would just stop off and do like a cheese board or some little snack somewhere. This would be perfect for that kind of vacation where you don't need to make your dinner plans. You can just, you know, hop, skip, and a jump around the parks and try something new. I don't know, Mike, you going to try all these new different foods?
Well, the thing is that it's only you could do that in, I guess you could do that in any park, but most of the time it's going to have to be in Epcot if you want to do that. I think Michelle's point is well taken, because if you realize, let's say your revenue is $100 million and you have to reduce your ability to raise that revenue by 50%, now you're down to 50 million. So what you do is you double the pathways to that revenue, and that's what this Food and Wine Festival expansion is all about. And I'm with you, Chris. I sometimes when you're down there and it's really warm, you don't feel like sitting down and eating a meal. You know, some of the restaurants are starting to just give you they give you so much food and they charge you so much money. We can talk about that later. But I think, like Michelle said, I mean, this is a great option for people who don't want to sit in a restaurant, who feel, you know, risky going in. And you know, I think it's a good deal.
But they're already doing a mini version during Flower and Garden. So if you add up those days with the days, the expanded, just regular food and wine,
It's like two-thirds of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Two-thirds of the year. So why not?
I know. Just make it go full time. I mean, the kiosks, they probably would have to make them a little bit more permanent looking and do something like that. But it'd be good. But so, Mike, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, what's going on there?
I thought that, let me read.
What did you think, Mike?
So I thought that there was going to be a new version of this game or this guest experience that was going to come out, but apparently they started to close all the portals. The there used to be a place right behind, right across and behind from Hall of Presidents where you could get cards and do things, and now it's just the firehouse. But I think it's closing. And I read today that it's actually closing for good. So there's no more Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom unless there's something new coming down the road. But as far as I know, that's another Disney guest experience that is gone. So maybe we do add to last week's, you know, 59% of the total. Well, actually, it's 81% of the total guest experiences in the Magic Kingdom has gone up a little bit. So that's gone. And that's too bad, because I saw a lot of people enjoying that. And let's face it, that contributed to the shortening of some of the lines of the attractions. Because if you're not in line, if you're doing Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, you're not going to be in line. And I'm wondering if they also... Michelle, do you remember we did this thing with the pirates one time too?
Yeah, there was a pirate one too.
Yeah, there was a pirate one too. I haven't heard about that. Yeah. If that's gone.
But honestly, Mike, let's be real here. You did it like once or twice, and then you didn't do it again. So I don't know. I mean, I know there's some devoted people who have binders with the cards and things like that. Chris, did you do it a lot? I mean, it was fun to do it once. I would look over people's shoulders and say, "Oh, that's a cool effect," but it wasn't something that pulled me out of a line or, you know.
Yeah, it reminded me of the what was the game they had in Epcot? It was
Kim
Possible.
Kim Possible, and you could go do things and things would light up or whatever.
Communicator.
Yeah. And so we I think we did the game once, and it did get creepy. Like, we went up to one, I think we were out in Adventureland or maybe even in Frontierland. And this guy had a binder out, and he was just like, "What do you got? What do you like?" He was like a drug dealer. Like, he was asking us what cards we had, and I could see how having a kid and having this, you know, middle-aged guy, sweaty and with a binder, asking what's going on, could get a little creepy. But I think it's fun for the kid. I thought it would have been fun for the kids. Like, you know, I think of like over in Universal. And they have got the magic wand. You spend like $50 on a magic wand, and you can go around and turn things on and make things happen, and everybody gets a kick out of it. I wonder if they did something similar where you know, it's a little bit more tangible than card game. It would have worked better.
But the technology is always improving. So, you know, Mike, you sort of mentioned maybe they're making their way into a new technology or a new, you know, maybe it's going to be new and different and interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll start something different.
We'll see. So, Mike, they're announcing a change in operating hours coming soon. Is this what you're hearing?
Yeah, so I think it's right around the middle of April. I think I want to say April 11th that things are going to change. And I'm thinking that with the school vacation weeks coming in April, that has something to do with it. And some of the changes are really interesting. So the Magic Kingdom is expanding by 1 hour, and all that means is that they're going to open an hour earlier. Epcot is expanding 4 hours. They're going to be closing now at 11. So that's interesting. The Animal Kingdom is also expanding to an extra 4 hours. They're going to be open from 8 to 8. The studios is going to expand by about 2 hours, and they're going to be open from 9 in the morning till 8 at night. And it just seems to be, you know, just right near where the school vacation weeks are coming up. So the question again is that if they're going to expand the operating hours, what else does that mean? Does that have anything to do with park capacity? So, but little thing, we're seeing little things like that happening. Food and wine, operating hours. What else is coming down the
cast members being called back?
Yeah, I've heard that. It's been reported that some cast members who work exclusively at DVC resorts have been receiving callbacks as the DVC resorts are going to open up. Not all the resorts are open. A lot of people don't realize the Polynesian is not open now. The Polynesian is not open because basically the monorail station is closed. So, but they're hoping that the Polynesian will open sometime late August. So there's a lot of little things like Michelle just mentioned. The DVC cast members are being called back. We got operating.
It's not just DVC. It's I'm on a Facebook page where cast members were, you know, kind of reporting about how they were doing, and I've seen a lot of people about that. Saw somebody in parking, people in the different stores being called back. So I think it's way more than just DVC.
That's the thing too, is going back. I will tell you right now, the podcast right now for me is just convincing me to go back in August, and hearing this kind of stuff, and you hear that things are expanding, it makes you feel better. I just wish there were more of a Disney announcement, like, here's what we're doing and here's what the plans are. We're expecting by July to have this available, and this is what parks are going to be open, and you're going to be able to park hop normally, or, you know, whatever. But, well, you know, I guess, you know, if wishes were fishes and whatever the rest of the thing goes. What's interesting is I got such a kick out of having the ability for years now, the past few years, to go through the parks with a cool stylized band on my wrist that I could just pay for things with, and I could get into parks with, and I could open up my hotel room door with. And that seems to be going away, Michelle. And in its place is going to be something called Magic Mobile for our smart devices. So instead of carrying a nice wristband on our wrist. Now we have to carry our phones everywhere we go, right?
Like you don't already? Is that what
I
you're
know,
saying?
But you know, some people. Well, here's the thing. My wife tends to, when we go to the parks, not want to have her phone with her.
Yes. So I've actually never been a huge Magic Band fan. And today I found out that you could actually download your Magic Mobile Plus. And so I did it. I just did it just before we started to do this. And it was super easy. So all you do is you log on to your My Disney Experience. There is a place that you just push Magic Mobile Plus and you say, I actually took some screenshots here. You can choose what type of pass style you want. You can, you know, there are a lot of different versions that you can look at to, you know, you can choose like the Magic Kingdom, a picture or Epcot or something like that. And then you choose it and you add it to your wallet if you have an iPhone. And then it was super easy just to connect to my watch. So then now when I open my watch on my wallet app, I can actually see it right now. I have my annual pass, which was just renewed. And I have a sparkling little Epcot. It's like an animated Epcot. It says Michelle S. And then I have a QR code. And I'm assuming that that's what I'm going to be showing when I go through the turnstiles or when I use my fast passes. So we got Mike to do it too. Mike, it wasn't too hard to do, right? Just took a minute.
No, it was pretty easy. And I think I read somewhere, Michelle, that you don't have to unlock your phone or your watch, but we'll see. I think that what you said would be, that's what I've been thinking. You need to hold that QR code up to the mouse ear thing at the turnstiles.
You'll be able to
So Chris, you can use your phone or your watch. And I believe, Mike, you can still use your Magic Band too, right?
For the time they're being? Interchangeable. Yeah, because your passes on your annual pass or your admission media is on your phone, on your watch, and on your Magic Band. So
yeah. So there. I was going to say, the thing with the Magic Band is that's going to cost them a lot of money. Like, there's a lot of money to be made on those Magic Bands. No.
Right. Right. They're no longer complimentary, Chris. If you want a Magic Band, you have to purchase it now.
The thing that Mike was saying, I think they've been losing out on this for a long, long time. Now maybe you can get Disney watch bands. You know, that would be awesome to be able to get. I mean, you can get them on Etsy and Amazon and things like that are kind of, you know, down the market.
An interesting time to do this, like right now when everything is already in flux and they're going to just switch over like this. It's kind of a little, I mean, I guess if you have a limited amount of capacity, it's the best time to do it. It's, you know.
Yeah, but if like you're a family with two young kids, what are the kids going to have it? I don't know. You can actually, I noticed when I signed in, I could actually add people in my family. So if they had tickets, I saw my son's names in there. So I guess I could be the holder of the passes if I wanted to do that.
You know, it's so interesting because I open up the app and you go to the home and it's always like, you know, all these little
tiles.
Yeah, the tile, you know, explore the resort, health and non, you know, make a theme park. You really have to do a couple of clicks to get to what you need to go to, which is always a pain in the butt. Like, I don't know why they don't ever make this.
It's pretty easy though to set this up. I mean, it really only took a minute. I just like click around till I figure it out type of person. And
it never seemed, the app never seems to be intuitive. Like, it never seems to be like you open it up and everything you need is right on that home screen that you need to go. Yeah. Like, everybody's always checking for attraction time waits. They're looking for restaurants. They're looking for, you know, information on, you know, where they're going that night, their fast passes, but we don't have to worry about fast passes now. I guess all that's going to work through the app as normal, like we did before. So
it sounds like it makes you weary to think about it.
Well, you know, it's so funny. It's like, you know, that was the thing about the Magic Band. It was just, well, I know, that's true. I always did check to see the wait times. I always checked to see my fast passes. And it was the problem was, you know, because the Wi-Fi sometimes was a little jaggy, you would never get those fast pass information. Like, you'd forget when your fast pass was. And sometimes it wouldn't load and you have to reload the app in. And I'm worried that we're going to have more of those kind of problems where, you know, you have to log out and log back in and, you know, all that stuff. But I'm sure they're putting all their hard-earned Disney dollars into these, into the app to make it work right. So
one of the things I learned about the Magic Bands is that they can sort of follow you around the park. They can follow. They have different receivers all around. Even though if you're not signing into a like a Fast Pass area, they can still see. Oh, Chris spent 27 minutes in merchandise and spent this much time at a restaurant. I don't know how that would work with this particular app. Anyway, I think it's just another convenience, and I think that it's going to be really cool.
Do you know offhand, can you open your, obviously you're going to be able to open your doors, your hotel room?
Yes, it does. There is an option to do that, to open your hotel room doors.
What happens if you're like in the Magic Kingdom and you accidentally hit the open your door, the hotel, does it go off? Or is there a setting you have to be right in front of it to click in front of it, like log in with the Q code?
Do not know that. That'll be fun to figure out. I'm sure lots of people will be reporting back.
I will say it's funny because I have a Tesla and I have an app. The Tesla has an app and you can do that kind of stuff. Like I was on a book tour and I think I was out in San Francisco and I started to honk the horn of my car while I was in the garage back in New Jersey and my family started freaking out and I,
Yeah, I can do the same thing with, I have a Volvo and I can do the same thing on my watch to turn it on, turn the lights on. And
I'm just wondering if you could do that with this kind of stuff, like, with the app. But anyway, so, all right, now we're going to discuss the one thing.
What do you mean? Like you can turn on the lights in the castle or something? Or start fireworks with your watch? You
actually, maybe that'll be the new game, right? Get rid of because they got rid of the what was that stupid game?
Sorcerer's
the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Now they're going to do it with your phone. But, so Mike, who cares? Five cruise lines now saying they're going to start cruising with vaccinated crew and guests. Do you think the Disney Cruise Line will follow up?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but earlier today I mentioned to Michelle that there are no less than 24 cruise lines who are saying we're going to cruise starting, another couple of weeks. We're going to cruise, and Disney was one of them, and they said they're going to operate selected cruises starting in June. As far as this vaccination thing, again, it's one of those deals where maybe they're trying to convince the CDC that the CDC should let up on their guidelines for cruising. I think it's a great idea. I think it, anything that encourages, motivates, nudges people to get vaccines, that works for me. NBA arenas, hockey arenas, theme parks, airlines, go for it. I really think that should be something. If I was a CEO of a company and I want to protect, I didn't want any bad press, I would think that. And maybe Disney's going to do that. I don't know. I do know that it's very crowded on those ships as far as the hallways are narrow. They're huge ships, but still, there's a lot of interaction. There's a lot of things where you're walking by people.
Buffets,
which will probably something lap with the buffets, the shows, the parties, the games. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So we'll see. I would support anything that any company, any industry does to encourage vaccinations.
Shell, does that make you want to go on a cruise more if they required vaccinations, or would you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I would love it. I would love to see. I was actually reading today about how people can use the cards and your vaccination card, and I was reading a scientist who said he stapled it right into his passport. So there's hope that you travel, you're vaccinated. And as I said before, I've traveled to Africa several times. You have to be vaccinated. You have to present that. I don't think it's not a hard lift. You have to be vaccinated to be in a public school. That information is really easy to get on your computer, and I don't think it's going to be tricky at all to do it. And we're going to have boosters, you know? We have these new variants, so it's going to be something that's really, you know, hopefully they'll have a digital, you can put it in your wallet and you'll have a digital card with your name on it and with all your
log
dates
in into
on it.
your app.
Yep.
Mike?
One of the things, I want to add a caveat to that, and I think Michelle and I were talking about this, that when you look at what's going on with certain countries and vaccinations and such, my guess is that most of us who would go on a cruise ship are probably not going to get off that cruise ship.
That's right.
When you go into a port, you would not going to go, if you were cruising to, let's say, Mexico or certain places in the Caribbean, probably not going to get off that ship, because my thought is that if you're a cruise line that really wants to make sure that you're not going to have to shut down, then you're going to create a bubble around each ship. You're going to create a virtual bubble that protects your passengers. Now, they will have to stop at ports to refuel and do a lot of things like that, but I don't see a lot of people, I don't see a lot of smart people getting off the boat.
Well, can't they do a cruise to nowhere type of thing? You know,
yeah, you know, I was thinking that. I agree with you, Mike, and we had talked about this. I think that, number one, I really kind of wouldn't want to get off the ship, but Disney has so many activities that's so fun that I actually am fine with staying on the ship for a prolonged period of time. But the other thing, too, is that we may see more visits to Castaway Key, because that keeps us in the bubble. It's only Disney people who are, get off the ship. It's Disney's private island. And we may see that a 7-day cruise does 2 stops on Castaway Key.
Going and coming, yeah.
I would be happy with 3 stops. It's so much fun there, and it's so relaxing and so much to do. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Interesting. So finally, we're going to get back to a little bit about, you're going to help me a little bit figure out what I'm going to do. Are we going to go or not go in August? And I know you guys are going, but for the average person, what do you think, Michelle, would convince the average person to want to go to Disney right now? Like, what are they doing? What could they be doing to convince you, if you were on the fence, to go to Disney?
So, Chris, is this the average person like us or the average person who's never been before?
I mean, even just people like us, like, we all know the situation, but I'm trying to think of like what could Disney say, or what information could they put out that would make you feel at ease about going? Like I said, my biggest qualm is about not getting the full enjoyment out of the vacation that I would have normally gotten for the money that I'm spending.
You know? I would look for, you know, I think it's very promising that they extended the hours for the vacation weeks, and I would look for them to probably be doing the same thing in the summer. I remember one day, a long time ago, like we were, all three of us with our families were in the Magic Kingdom. What was like 2 or 3 in the morning? Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I don't think we're going to see that, but I would expect that they are going to continue to expand the hours, and that would be one thing that would convince me. Personally, I honestly have just been in so many Zoom meetings since March of last year that even just a few hours in a park, or just to get away from Nashua, New Hampshire, would make me the happiest person in the world. Double, you know, with all my vaccinations, I'm not, my expectations aren't super high. I'm okay with that. It's not going to be, I'm not going to be doing the commando type of experiences that I used to do with my kids.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I think all of us are okay with that. So I think, you know, if you're there, if you're going there for the atmosphere, to have some sort of Disney feeling, hear the music, smell the smells, you know, go on a few attractions, I think you're going to be satisfied. If you're looking for what it was before, I don't think you're going to be happy. Yeah.
So, Mike, like, my big thing, I think I've mentioned, is my wife's big want is we go to dinner at, say, Narcoossee's, right? We go to dinner, and then we want to go walk around World Showcase at night, get a drink, maybe a little dessert. And the fear is that because you have to reserve a park, you're not going to be able to do that. Is there something that Disney could say or showcase to you that would convince you to be like, all right, I'm going to, Chris should be going, because that's that means that they're on their way. Like, is there anything in the coming days that you want to hear them say that'll make you feel more comfortable about going?
So there's so many different guest profiles that it depends upon the individual. But as far as you and Audra goes, and we love walking around the parks at night too. And if anybody gets a chance, I suggest you walk around Galaxy's Edge at night when there's nobody around. It's awesome. But anyways, I think that the extended hours is a big deal. I think that that is giving everyone that much more freedom to do whatever they want at a certain time. They're not limited to a small window of time, because the smaller the window of time, the more crunching of people, the more crowded it's going to be, and the more limited the guest experiences that you want to experience. I think that the operating hours is a big deal. I think that the capacity is a big deal too. I don't really care if they don't increase the capacity. I'd like to see them cap it at 50% and that's it, because I think that would help the guest experience. Now, having said that, let's think about what comes to mind when anybody says Disney World. A lot of people think of fireworks. A lot of people think of parades. We're going to see attractions. We're going to see rides. We're going to do, we're going to have fun with the cast members. I don't know when that's coming back. I think that the fireworks is a big, big deal.
Yeah. No, I mean, would you say that's like one of the things that would prevent you from coming back? Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, if they, you know, obviously we're not going to see any fireworks this summer. It's not preventing you. You're going. But do you think obviously an average family, like, that's what they want to see. They want to see fireworks. Like, you know, they're coming for a trip and they're going to be shortchanged on that experience.
I think that very much in the same mold as Michelle. I don't care I care about relaxing. I want to just, you know, soak in the atmosphere, the environment, the willful suspension of disbelief. I want to just relax. I love to see people having fun, but just walking around, like you guys said, walking around, that's fine for me. I enjoy hanging around the resorts if it's a nice resort. I just think that you know, that fireworks carrot, so to speak, is just something that would, you know, motivate me to go down. But like Michelle said, after a year of being cooped up, and now we have vaccinations, so we're not going to be too worried about, I mean, still going to be a little concerned, but just walking around and just being there is nice. I think that the fireworks and the parades and the character experiences, I think that's a real significant and important aspect of it. And I think that those three components will keep people from going back. But I think those of us who've been down there, let's say quite frequently, we just want to get down and, you know, we want to get down and experience the atmosphere again. And maybe there's a restaurant that we're waiting to go back to. So we'll see.
Speaking of which, Michelle, the thing that's making us nuts is the thought of park reservations, adding in your dining reservation, making sure that's all locked. It feels like so much work to sort of plan your trip. Is that something that would hold you back from besides the pandemic, would this hold you back from wanting to go there?
So this is what I feel about that. I have been stuck in the house for so long that I'm really excited to do the planning. So even though it's a long ways away, I feel like every discussion about a restaurant or a park to go to is like a little mini vacation in my head. And right now I don't mind that. I don't know if I'll like it if it's the way it is for forever and ever, but right
forever?
Now it doesn't bother me at all. It's actually kind of fun. So it requires some planning and some conversation, but it doesn't really bother me right now. We have time, like, I'm not commuting to work. That saves an hour of my day every day.
Yeah.
You know, I did a presentation today to 30 people in my pajama bottoms. So like I have the time to do it. It doesn't really, and I haven't been on vacation for over a year. So
Mike, the big problem I'm having is the fact that you have to reserve a park and then make a dining reservation for that park, And what happens if I, you know, we want to go to the Magic Kingdom during the day, and then, you know, maybe we have the park hopper and we want to do dinner in Epcot. Like, is it going to be a difficult thing to do? Like, it just seems like it's like a little bit of a extra work to figure this out.
That's a good question, Chris. I'm not sure. From what I've seen, the My Disney Experience app encourages you to make park reservations first and then make dining reservations second.
Right.
The other thing is that you cannot, this holds for everybody, you cannot make dining reservations outside of 60 days. So you have to wait till you're within a 60-day window to make dining reservations. So obviously, if you try to make a park reservation, here's an example. Let's say you wanted to make a park reservation for October 1st of this year. Well, you can't. I mean, it's all booked. That means you're not going to be able, for Magic Kingdom. That means that you're pretty much out of luck if you wanted to eat at Be Our Guest or Crystal Palace or whatever. So it's really kind of not clear regarding dinner. I don't know if you want a dinner at Epcot that night, you would have to make a park reservation for Epcot for the morning. It's really unclear, but I can tell you that going through, and it makes you think about when I'm gonna spend my days, and it takes away from the spontaneity that Disney World has always been famous for. You get up, well, where do you want to go today? Do you want to go to the parks? Do you want to go to Disney Springs? Do you want to go to see this resort? Do you want to just ride the monorail? That spontaneity is gone. So,
I mean, is there like a point where they're going to say each park has X amount of percentage of capacity that we're going to hold? They keep the numbers from obviously when they're checking people in and out. And then they say, all right, we're going to be at, you know, 40% capacity. If people leave, other people can come in and it's not a big deal. So that, you know, in the middle of the day or later in the day, when you want to go and, like I said, walk the parks or go to dinner, you don't have to stress about getting in. I mean, that's the other thing that I'm thinking about is you make a reservation at Epcot. And when you show up there at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time, and they say, sorry, we're at capacity, you can't get in. What happens then?
So I've always heard that capacity is, at least for in the past, capacity is based on number of cars in the parking lot. I'm not sure if that's true anymore, but my guess is that at each park there is a toll plaza that you would pay to, you know, park your car, whatever it is now, $100. I'm exaggerating, of course, but it's like $30. Right. I don't know. My guess was that they would turn you around. They would turn you around at the toll plaza. They would not turn you around if you are a guest who's staying on site and you're using Disney transportation. And I think that what they're doing is they may have wiggle room. So they may say it's 35%, and we're at 35%, but Chris has come in and he's staying at the yacht club. Michelle has come in and she's staying at the beach club. We're not going to deny them access. There's so many little questions.
Well, that's it. I feel like there's a lot of additional work that needs to be done to just relax. Like, it doesn't make sense.
But it's fun to plan. I don't know.
It's fun to plan.
Like, if you were going to a hotel in Key West, wouldn't you have to sit around every night and say, where do you want to go? What food do you want? Like, you wouldn't, you'd be doing the same type of stuff.
No, I have no problem with that. I think the problem I'm having is worrying that you actually can get in to go to the places you want to go and do the things you want to do. Like in Key West, you go there and you say, I want to go walk the beach. Nobody's going to say, sorry, we're at capacity. You need to step off.
Maybe if you were in Miami, but yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sort of a limit to, you know, your choices based on factors that you may not be aware of at the time that you're making the choice.
All right. But I don't want to be like Pollyanna, but like if you didn't get to go to a restaurant in Epcot, you like to stay at the yacht club, you would have many, many other choices around the boardwalk.
I agree.
Right?
I would rather do it. Like,
you go to Blue Zoo or, you know, like any place in the Swan or Dolphin or
No, we love to, like, you know, we'll go to the Cruise Cup or you go over somewhere on the boardwalk. Yeah. It's great. I have no problem with it. I guess the major issue I have is just sort of having the ability to get into the park that I want to go to when I want to go to it, whether or not I've planned to or not, whether I have, like, again, they're not even doing fast passes, so I can't even gauge what my day is going to look like because I can't even get fast passes. So I go to the Magic Kingdom and I'm waiting on four lines that are a half hour each. Half my day is gone, and then I got to leave because I have a reservation for dinner at Epcot, but I don't know if I can get into Epcot. What do I do? Like, I mean, those are the things that are churning me up, and I'm wondering from you guys if there was anything that they could start doing that would make me feel better. I know. I'm asking you to tell me what would make me feel better, but you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of...
I guess I just have a different attitude about it because I honestly, it doesn't matter to me. If I sat by the pool all day, I'd be okay. If I got to just walk around a park, I'd be okay.
That's the other thing. What are the procedures at the pools? Like, am I allowed to just go and get in the pool? And are there going to be...
Actually, I have a cast member friend who told me about this because she was on property and said that, people are just, obviously they're allowed to go in the water without masks. It's a little bit more laid back because it's not so dangerous with chlorine, you know, things like that. But I think you'll be fine. It's Stormalong Bay. I'm comfortable going in.
Yeah, no, I mean,
fully vaccinated.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I feel like I've got my vaccines. Like, we're going to be fine in that sense. I'm just talking in terms of, you know, what is available to us and what would make me. I mean, Mike, if I was going to go to Chef Mickey's, right? I mean, I'd go for a nice cheap breakfast and.
we actually read about that the other day.
Wait, what? Is there something going on with Chef Mickey's, Mike?
So, we all know that Chef Mickey's is one of the popular buffet restaurants, as is Crystal Palace and Restaurant Saurus and Trails End and a whole bunch of others. I forget the one at the Beach and Yacht Club. I forget what that one's called. Anyway, what is it? Cape May Cafe. So, yeah, Michelle came across an article and she shared it with me. And it's like, she said, okay, Mike, how much is a breakfast? And I started off with, okay, let's see.
I asked how much per adult is the buffet? Well, it's not buffet anymore. It's family style breakfast at Chef Mickey. So he started at what, $25?
I said, oh man, it's going to be expensive. So I said $24.95, and she said, nope, go higher. And I said, oh, okay, so $27.95, no. $29.95, no. And then I started saying, and then I started hearing voices in my head. 32.
That's the vaccine.
$32.95, and I thought that would be
Bill Gates and his vaccine.
No. $34.95. No.
It was a long conversation.
Yeah, it took a while just to get to it, huh?
And then I gave up, and she finally told me, Michelle, you please let everybody know.
$42 per adult.
What about kids?
Kids, I think.
It's 28, right?
Probably
28. Yeah, 27, 28. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they bring you a pile of food and they put it on you. I mean, the selection looks fantastic. And they do have the characters coming around. You're socially distant and you can take pictures, I guess, 6 feet away. But, I immediately thought of my friend Amanda with her four kids and how much money that would cost. They're all teenagers. And, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money for breakfast. How many eggs and toast do you eat for breakfast?
I'd like to walk in there with an NFL team, a lineman, four guys that are about 300 pounds and say, all right, boys, you know.
Yeah, there was a comedian who used to do a joke about he was a larger man and he would
John Panette. John Panette, I went to college with him.
The running joke is like, no, you're killing. So, it's crazy. Like, I was even noticing I have to renew my annual passes, and those went up I want to say like $300-$400 from the previous year. Like, they've really escalated the costs of things, and I know they're trying to make up for park capacity the down year. They're trying to make their money back, but that's a little insane. I think $42 a person for... And God knows, you know, like, you cannot eat $42 worth of food. I don't care who you are. You know, scrambled eggs and pancakes, you're not going to eat $42 worth.
No, at not least. For breakfast, but maybe $42 worth of lobster, maybe. No.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah, so it's a little crazy. So we're still on the fence and we're still trying to figure out what we want to do.
I said the same thing.
Yeah. So, but we're going to, you know, we're going to keep at this and you're going to eventually convince me. And I hope in the coming weeks, we're going to get some more news from Disney telling us that what they're doing. I think that's what we're waiting for is sort of more of a game plan. Yeah, like tell us where we are. What's going to be happening?
I'm glad that the door's still open, Kurt.
Yeah, they were. You know, it's so funny. I think we had a conversation.
I was just going to say, I'm glad the door's still open that you're considering it.
Yeah, we were having this conversation, the three of us, I think, and I was talking to my wife about what is available, what's not available, and she kind of was like, I think I'm done. And I was like, all right. And so I actually, of all things, so obviously Becky is my travel agent, and I went to her and I said, I think we're thinking about canceling. She actually talked me out of it and said, you have time to wait. Because I had said, well, I got to book the park reservations, and then I got to make food. And she said, you don't have to do it yet. She said, obviously, with spring break, things were selling out. You needed to. But she's like, where you are going to be, you don't need to worry about it yet. So yeah. I'm trusting my travel agent to say, I don't need to book those park reservations yet. I don't need to worry about it. I can't even do my dining reservations yet. So let's let it ride for a little bit and see where they go. I just, like I said, I want Disney to say, here's where we're going to be in August so that we have a better idea of what we're getting for our dollar and making sure that we're right where we want to be and enjoying ourselves. So.
Yeah, I think you got about 2 months to, you know, let the next 2 months go by, Chris, and then probably at the end of May, maybe the first week in June, you'll have a really better idea as to what's going on down there and you can make up your mind. And when you hit the 1st of June, I think you're going to be within the 60 days of when you want to go to make those, if you do want to make.
Chris, what would it take for you? I mean, do you know what it would take for you to change your mind?
It's not just my mind, but there are a bunch of different factors. Like I want to be able to park hop. I want to be able to go to a park and then do dinner somewhere else and then maybe even do a walkthrough at a different park at night. I want to be able to go by the pool and hang out and not be like turned away because there's too many people sitting by the pool. I want to be sure that, you know, I mean, I love the idea of the food and wine because it's going to be wonderful for us to, you know, walk around. You know, my sons are now adults so they can have adult beverages, which is great. So it's more of a just ensuring that we're going to have an experience that we're used to when we go to Disney, as opposed to the half measures. I guess it's sort of like, you know, it's the, what is it? The Supreme Court definition of pornography or what's the word? You'll know it when you see it. Obscenity, like, you know, something is obscene, I'll know it when I see it. And it's sort of like, I think when they give us the listing of where they are and I feel it, I'll say, okay, that's it, we're good. I can't give you what that answer is right now.
I was just gonna say, Chris, if you going to the supermarket isn't what it was before, so if you're expecting Walt Disney World to be exactly the same, I think
good point.
I wasn't saying exactly the same, I was just saying, you know, yeah, there's just certain things that we want. And that's, if we don't have those, then is it worth the trip? But we'll have to keep revisiting this question as the weeks go on and as Mike gives us more updates and we hear more things. So I think we'll leave it there and we'll I'll thank you for giving me more information to help me with my decision. You guys are always a big help and I'll have to go check out that new Magic Mobile app and make sure it works properly. I have to actually renew my annual pass to get there, But so thank you. So on behalf of Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean and Michael Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.